I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. We read the verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God. And he that is Jesus said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, as Christians, we are called to be good stewards. What is a steward, you ask? Well, a steward is someone who is responsible for the careful management of something entrusted to his care. Thus, we speak of financial stewardship, or environmental stewardship, or stewardship of natural resources, and so on. Now, there's also a stewardship of the kingdom of heaven, and it has to do with our relationship to God and to the kingdom of God, and what we must do with it and how we must respond to it. As Christians, we are called to be good stewards of the kingdom. Now, that is the main point of the parable that we have just read together, the parable of the unjust steward. And it's to this parable that we turn our attention with God's help today. My theme is kingdom stewardship, and we'll see that this stewardship is often sinfully neglected. It must be prudently exercised, and it will be practically demonstrated. The parable before us contains three main characters. There is a rich man, his steward or manager, and two debtors. From what we can gather, the rich man was probably the owner of a large estate. The debtors were probably tenants on his estate, who farmed his land, and in exchange paid him rent, probably in the form of produce. The steward was hired by the rich man to look after his estate. Probably because it was so large, he was not able to manage it himself, or because the owner lived too far away. One day, the rich man received some shocking news. Someone reported to him that his steward, the man whom he employed and to whom he entrusted his estate, had been mismanaging his affairs. Now, we don't know what he did exactly. Was he stealing from his Lord? Was he simply not being as attentive as he should have been, with the result that the estate was losing money? We don't know. All we know is that he was delinquent in some way. Well, upon hearing this, the rich man summoned his steward to give an account of himself. And in verse 2, he is quoted as saying, "How is it that I hear this of thee?" Or we could also translate, "What is this that I am hearing about you?" It's as though the rich man could not believe his ears. He entrusted his steward and had amply rewarded him for his service. How could he do such a thing? How could he betray him like this? Without waiting for an answer, the man then said to his steward, "Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." Clearly, the rich man had had enough. His steward would be steward no longer. He would find someone else to run his estate in his place. In the meantime, he gave him time to surrender his account books so that the next steward would be able to pick up where he left off. Interestingly, at no time do we read that the steward sought to defend himself. He was guilty as charged, and he knew it. And dear friends, you and I are not unlike this steward. Like him, we too have been given a stewardship, not from a rich man, but from God himself. We have a stewardship of material goods. God gives to us food and drink and shelter and clothing. We have a stewardship of spiritual goods. God gives to us his word and the church and the sacraments. All of these things are given to us by God to be used for our benefit and to his glory. But now the question comes to us this morning, what have we done with this stewardship? Like the steward in the parable, we have mismanaged and even, in some cases, squandered it. We did so, first of all, in Adam. To Adam was given the greatest stewardship imaginable. He was given a beautiful home to live in, the Garden of Eden. He was given direct access to God. He walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. But as we know from the scriptures, Adam squandered his stewardship, and because he is our representative, we squandered it in him. He did so by listening to the serpent and partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of that action, like the steward in this parable, he was dismissed from his stewardship. He was cast out of the garden, and God sent a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the entrance to the tree of life. Sadly, many still squander their stewardship today, also in the Church of Jesus Christ. Most of us who've been listening to this broadcast have been brought up with the truth of the Word of God. Some of us have received the sign and seal of holy baptism. And God has been so good to us. He has provided us with every possible means to know him and to love him and to serve him. But what have we done with this? What have we done with his word? What have we done with the many sermons we have heard over the many years that we've been going to church? Has it borne fruit in our lives? Has it brought us to faith and repentance in Christ? Or have we squandered these things, either by willful neglect or carelessness? Oh, my friend, beware. One day, like the steward in this parable, we will have to give an account before God on the day of judgment. And then what will we say? If, like the steward in this parable, we have misused what he has given us or not used it at all, then we must repent before it is too late. Oh, may we take this warning seriously and prudently use the things that God has given for the well-being of our souls and the glory of his name. The rich man then resolved to dismiss his steward from his stewardship. So what did the man do? Well, that brings us to our second point. Upon being informed that he would lose his job, the steward thought about what he should do to make a living. And he went through various options. and he decided that he could not dig. He was too lazy for that. Nor could he beg. That would be beneath his dignity. And so this man came up with an ingenious plan. He would make friends of his lord's tenants who were behind in their rent. And he would do this by forgiving a portion of their debt. That in turn would obligate them to receive him into their houses after he got kicked out of his master's house. And the idea was that he would stay a certain time in the house of one, and then another, and another, and another, until the end of his life. At least that way he would have food and shelter. And that's exactly what he did. And we read in verse 5 and following, "So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And so he did, probably, to many of his lord's tenants. Now, whether the tenants were aware of what the steward was doing is not known. Most likely, they were not. Whatever the case, the plan worked. And within a very short space of time, the steward collected a vast amount of money for his lord, and at the same time secured a way to provide for his own needs. How shrewd this man was! Even his lord was impressed. For we read that when the steward presented his lord with the account books, they showed that he had far more money than he originally thought. Consequently, Jesus says, he commended his steward because he had done wisely. Now, what is the point of all of this? What lesson is our Lord seeking to teach us in this parable? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 8, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." The children of this world are unbelievers. They're called the children of this world because they are from the world and they live for the world. The children of light are believers. They are called children of light because they have seen the light of God, the light of the gospel, and they have come to the light of Christ. Now, what Jesus is saying is that in general, unbelievers are wiser and more prudent than believers. Unbelievers are devoted to one goal, and that is living comfortably in this life and enjoying as much of this world as they can. And to that end, they are prepared to do almost anything. They are prepared to work long hours. They are prepared to invest their money, or in some cases, gamble it away in the hopes of getting rich quick, or spend it right away in order to gratify their lusts. They are prepared even to lie and to cheat and to steal and to hurt their neighbor. Anything in order to get ahead. Now, the unjust steward is a case in point. Here was a man who was about to lose his job. But rather than despair, the man became creative. Rather than look back, he looked forward. Rather than lament about what had happened, he prepared for what lay before him. Rather than resign himself to his circumstances and become bitter and angry and upset, the man acted prudently and even shrewdly. Sadly, however, most believers do not do as this man did. And Jesus seems to lament this fact. Some believers become complacent about their spiritual condition before God. They comfort themselves with the fact that men are saved by grace through faith apart from works, and therefore they conclude wrongly that they do not have to work very hard at living the Christian life. Or they compare themselves to others, and they conclude that they are not so bad Consequently, seeking God, developing a deeper relationship with Him, growing in grace and holiness and knowledge are simply not their first priorities. As long as they are over the threshold, they think, that is far enough. Others allow other things to take first place in their lives. Their money, their investments, their businesses, their vacations, their toys, their homes, their sports teams, their hobbies, even legitimate things like family, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They spend more time on these things than they do seeking the Lord. They find more pleasure, enjoyment and satisfaction and meaning in these things than they do in the Lord. And Jesus is telling us, don't be like that. Learn from the children of this world. Learn from the unjust steward. Don't do what he did, for what he did was sinful, but imitate his prudence, his diligence, his devotion, his stewardliness. The same needs to be said to those of you who are not saved today. The Lord has been so good to you. He has given you life and breath. He has given you his word. He has given you opportunities to hear his word, also through this radio broadcast. He has done so much for you. He has given so many things to you. But what have you done with these things? Is it not true that some of you have no interest in them? You're more interested in the world and the things of the world. You have more time for those things than for seeking after God. My friend, do you not realize how foolish you are being? Do you not know that the things of this world cannot bring true joy or lasting satisfaction? Only God can do that. And therefore I urge you today, seek after Him. Pursue after Him. Repent and believe so that you may live. The unjust steward therefore acted very prudently. And we need to do the same, and that's essential for kingdom stewardship. And when we do this, it will also show in our lives. And that brings us to our third and final point. If you are a good steward of the kingdom, that will manifest itself in many different ways. It will manifest itself in acts of piety, Bible reading, prayer, faithful attendance at the worship services. It will manifest itself also practically in keeping the commandments of God, living for Him and for His glory, doing good to our neighbors. But Jesus in this parable focuses on something else. He says that if we are true stewards of the kingdom of heaven, that will manifest itself in how we spend our money. Jesus says in verse 9, "Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." Jesus here speaks of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now he's referring here, of course, to money. Mammon is the name given in the Bible to the god of money, the god of greed and material possessions. He calls money the mammon of unrighteousness because it is often gained in unrighteous ways, and it is often spent on unrighteous things and activities and for unrighteous purposes. He also speaks here of everlasting habitations. Now, what are these everlasting habitations? Well, this is simply another way of speaking about heaven. Heaven is composed of everlasting habitations. Habitations that, unlike the habitations in this life, will endure to all eternity. So what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, like the steward in this parable, who bought the favor of his Lord's tenants, so that when he was kicked out of his master's house, they would receive him into theirs, use your money, not selfishly, but in such a way as to benefit other believers, so that when you fail, meaning when you die, they may receive you, or better, you may be received or welcomed into heaven. The English Standard Version puts it like this, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it, that is your wealth, fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Jesus here is not saying by this that we can somehow buy our way into heaven by spending it on others. Heaven cannot be bought. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. What he is saying is that the right use of our money in this world, in this life, from right motives, will be for our benefit in the world to come. It will not justify us. It cannot satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Only Christ can do that. But it will serve as an evidence of grace and a confirmation that we are indeed the children of God. Paul expresses the same thought in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. Thereafter, instructing Timothy to charge those who are rich in the world that they give to those who are in need, Paul says that in doing so, they will, quote, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, end quote. What he means is that those who use their money to help others may be assured that they are the children of God and that they will also be rewarded in heaven. The point is, kingdom stewardship manifests itself in how we spend our money. Now, to reinforce this, our Lord goes on to say in verse 10, that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Jesus here is quoting a proverb to the effect that the character of a man is revealed by how he handles small responsibilities. If he is faithful in small things, he will be faithful in big things, and will thereby prove that he is a faithful man. Conversely, if he acts unjustly in small things, he will act unjustly in big things, and will thereby prove that he is an unjust or unfaithful man. He then goes on to apply this principle to how we use our money. He says in verses 11 and 12, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own?" What he means is this. If you can't be trusted to use your money, which is not your own, but ultimately God's, in the right way, how can you expect God to entrust you with the riches of his salvation? That's the true riches, which are yours by faith. His point is that one of the marks of a true Christian is how he uses his money. If he uses his money in the first place to advance the kingdom and the glory of God and to benefit his neighbor, he is a true Christian, and God will reward him richly in the life to come. But if he uses his money selfishly and not to advance the kingdom or the glory of God or the benefit of his neighbor, then he is not a true Christian, and God will not reward him richly in the life to come. Well, then to reinforce this even further, Jesus says in verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus makes the same statement in the Sermon on the Mount. And he repeats it here, and for good reason, because it expresses the heart of the whole matter that he's been talking about. As we go through life, we will serve one of two masters, God or mammon. God or material things. We cannot serve them both. Now, I know that many people try. Also, many professing believers try to do this, but we cannot. We will serve either the one or the other. And as Jesus ends his discourse, he's asking us, as it were, whom do you serve? Do you serve God or do you serve mammon? If you serve mammon, you will perish. But if you serve God, you will live. Well, how do we stand in relation to this? If we're honest, must we not confess that so often we serve mammon rather than God? Is it not true that so often we place a higher value on our money and our possessions than we do on the things of God? And that manifests itself in how we spend our money. Just ask yourself, how much do you spend on yourself? And how much do you spend on the kingdom of God? Does God get the first fruits of your paycheck or the leftovers? Are you giving abundantly, gladly, and joyfully for the Lord and the work of his kingdom? How would you feel if God, like the man in the parable, ordered you to give an account publicly of how much you give to the Lord, both in terms of time as well as money? Would you be embarrassed? Would you feel uncomfortable? Our answer to that question will reveal much about what lives in our own hearts and the state of our relationship to God. Well, here too, let the Lord Jesus be our example. He served God with all of his heart, did he not? He delighted to do his will, even though it meant suffering and death and pain. He was the ultimate kingdom steward. What is more, material things meant nothing to him. When he was born, he was laid to rest in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Later, when he became a man, his food and drink was to do the will of his Father in heaven. The foxes, he said on one occasion, have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when he died, the soldiers stripped him of his one earthly possession, his garment, for which they cast lots. And now he is in heaven, and he is no longer poor, but unimaginably rich, as he is seated at the right hand of his Father, and unto him has been given all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. He rules the world with a rod of iron, and one day he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Then every knee shall bow before him, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And when you believe on his name, then although you may be very poor in the eyes of the world, you are unfathomably rich. You are a partaker of all Christ's riches in glory. And now the Lord asks you to be a good steward of what he has given to you. Don't mismanage it. Don't squander it. But use it for the benefit of others and the glory of his name. And in this way, show yourself to be a good and faithful steward of the kingdom. Amen. Dear friends, it's a great blessing and encouragement to us to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia. V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. It's all one word, Banner of Truth Radio. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.